Welcome to the Listen to Us Rant About Movies podcast. Let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Wes Ford and Zach Harris.
I'm Wes Ford.
And I'm Zach Harris.
We rant about movies and drink while we do it. On this episode, we'll be discussing what we've been watching, followed by a review of the new A24 film, David Lowery's Green Knight, now playing in theaters. Tonight, we are drinking, we decided to get some Topo Chico hard seltzers.
Little boozy Chico, you know, I'm a Chico baby, I gotta rep the brand.
Zach's a big Chico baby.
Yeah, Chico head, I think I could be Chico head.
Official Chico head.
Yeah, so yeah, I would say we were just discussing it compared to other seltzers, and I don't know if I'm biased because I'm a Chico head, but definitely my favorite of the boozy seltzers out there.
Yeah, it's my first time having it, and I'd say it's pretty up there with all those. You know, we're popping these bad boys open, you know, trying to beat back the summer heat, you know what I'm saying?
Yep, that Green Knight heat, baby.
Green Knight heat. but
get a little seltzer.
Yeah, well, cheers.
Cheers, buddy. I'm rocking the exotic pineapple. Wes, you got the guava, right? Strawberry guava.
I got the strawberry guava. It's nice. Pretty good. It's, I would say it's definitely doesn't have that like chemical taste that, like a lot of the seltzers have, you know?
Yeah. Especially when you're in the berry realm, I feel like it's when it gets, or like cherry or something.
Oh yeah, the cherry is like, they're always like, eh.
Yeah.
But this one's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I'd had that one before, really liked it. Hadn't had the, I got the exotic pineapple, which is also good. Maybe, I think, based on my memory, I like the guava more, but this is also a fine beverage.
I would agree. All right, well, before we discuss what we've been watching, Ronnie?
This podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/LTURAM. Choose from 180,000 titles from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Now back to you, Wes.
If you like what you hear on this episode, remember you can find other episodes of our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, YouTube, and most major podcast platforms. All right, let's get into it. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
What we've been watching. I've got lots to talk about.
Yeah, I think I do too. At least a good amount. You want to go first?
Yeah. Actually, forgot to have my list pulled up, but I'll tell you, I did watch Color Out of Space.
Oh yeah, the like Richard Stanley, Nicolas Cage thing.
Yeah, yeah. I was a fan.
It's pretty good. It's fun.
I really liked it. I feel like I have a slightly different perspective recently because on the side, my buddy here and there, he runs a Call of Cthulhu role-playing game.
Nice.
It's like once a month I go on, and it's literally a H.P. Lovecraft role-playing game. And it's like real into that like existential dread, cosmic horror stuff. Really interesting. And so this was literally like the locations and everything are right in that world, you know? So it was just kind of cool to see that perspective, like the town names and all that. And I just thought it was pretty wild. I was overall a pretty big fan. I thought it like really hit a good point for me when it gets to a certain point. I don't want to ruin it in the film or like ruin the film, but there's a point where it's like truly terrifying.
Yeah, I think I know. You might exactly know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
yeah. There was a part, And I don't remember a lot of the specifics now, but I did watch it. I think I watched it, like, when it came out on Blu-ray around then. And, yeah, there's just one point where I remember being, like, surprised by a choice they made, and it, like, goes pretty hard. And I was
almost,
oh, shit, this went a lot harder than I thought it was going to.
Like, it almost feels Cronenberg-esque a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, totally.
And when it hit that point, I was like, wow. And I
was not expecting that.
Not expecting it, but I loved it. You know, I was like, this totally upped its game and, like, went way weirder and crazier. And, yeah, I was a big fan. I liked the use of color that they used throughout and the lighting. And, I don't know, I was a fan. Not, like, an amazing film, but, like, if you like H.P. Lovecraft, if you like cosmic horror type things, it was totally my kind of movie. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely worth the watch. Like, I remember there being some stuff in it that I was like, eh. But overall, pretty like, unique horror movie. Like, lots of cool effects, lots of risks that, like, do pay off, I feel like.
Some, and, like, really cool, like, old school practical effects, which I really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
I was a big fan of that. So if you like The Thing, I'd say check this out. You know, like, that's for a good bridge point.
Similar vibe.
Yeah. So, yeah, Color Out of Space. Check it out.
Nice. I'll bunch a bunch of these together. I watched Saw 1-6.
You're ahead of me now, but you kind of
We're on the same train. Where are you at?
I have to watch 6 next.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like they're not aging great. not as good. Honestly, the first few were not as good as I remembered. I didn't think the first one was bad, but it wasn't. I used to think
aged.
It was like, yeah, like, good. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah, you know. Like, when it came out, and it's aged considerably.
It's decent still, though, I'd say.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Like, I enjoyed
it's
it.
It's decent. And the like, twists and stuff, they still play, and, like, some of the performances are good. But I think because I know I had seen at least a 4, but remembered parts of 5. But I also worked at the movie theater when that came out. So it could have been that I just saw parts, like, on my break or something.
Yeah.
But I'm, like, astonished at how much continuity there is between them, and really just, like, confused why. You know what I mean? Like,
they really have to, like, branch each one in some weird way.
And it makes no sense.
Like,
it makes absolutely no sense. And it's just, like, this new guy that, like, the last 3, this, like, detective guy who's in them, just sucks. Like, he is the worst. And it's always, like, cutting back and, like, twisting. It's basically just, like, recutting back to the first and second movies and just, like, adding characters that were there the whole time. And it's just like, wait, this guy was there too? And it's just like, after the events of the first one, like, 8 different people, like, come in the room at different times. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just,
like,
really
what?
Weird. Yeah. And I guess I, like, don't even remember that from seeing the first 4, like, them being, like, so directly tied together. I just remembered all the kills. So, and it's honestly just so unnecessary. It's like, all people wanted were the weird kills. Like, you could just make a different movie and just, like, follow only, like, the people, like, no, like, police procedural interrogation, or, you know what I mean? Like, or complicated flashbacks of, like, Jigsaw was a busy man.
Very
like before
busy.
The events of the first one, because there's so many traps that are happening simultaneously, and then they're, like, revealing people that are, like, helping him set the traps.
Yeah,
but also it's like he had to record all these voice memos and, like,
it makes
make these
no
puppet
sense.
Videos. Like,
how
it's
did one
insane.
Person do this? How did one person...
Yeah, it's like Jigsaw orchestrated, like, a year's worth of traps to all go off without a hitch, and he's like, "And I'm the genius behind it." Just, like, all.
Not only that, he, like, gets, like, sicker, right? He's, like, getting sicker, and, like, he can't even, like, get out of bed, but yet he's, like, somehow. I mean, they say he gets an assistant at one point, right? But still, she doesn't even know what's going on.
Totally. And she's not, like, smelting these, like, parts and, like, welding together these, like, giant, like, saw blade pendulums and stuff that are like remote controlled.
Just like unlimited just, like, budget so... on like all this stuff.
Yeah, he just has like a murder warehouse that no one's found.
It's like this massive like water tank. He like gets all these pigs that he can slaughter.
Yeah, it's so insane.
He has like this massive block of ice so that can melt. Like, come on.
Oh yeah, with Donnie Wahlberg.
Yeah.
How did he fly in this block of ice after like all these other events while he's like bedridden? You know what I mean?
Makes no sense.
I mean, they're funny, but honestly, if I'm being candid, I have played Zelda through the last two or three. And just at some point, like looking up and being like, you know what? I think I have no idea what's going on. And I think if I had paid 100% attention to this also, I don't know if I would have more of an idea. Like,
that's so ridiculous.
They're really ridiculous. It's a fun watch. Like, I'm going to watch all of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I need to keep watching them.
They're definitely worse than I remember, I'd say. They're pretty rough.
Yeah, they're rough.
I don't get the decision to, like, center... Like, did these characters know, like, the girl who with the jaw thing in the first one who survives?
Yeah.
Did she know she was going to be in, like, seven movies after that? Or did...
Right.
No, she's, they like, probably she's just like kept... a one-off character.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. They probably just, like, kept offering her the part, and she's like, yeah, you know?
Yeah. And just, like, keep making up new weird ways to twist it. Yeah. Like, that same... Same thing with that new cop guy, like post Donnie Wahlberg or whatever, the detective.
Yeah.
She's
like,
did this guy get cast as a detective knowing he was going to be in like four, like kind of the lead character in like four movies? You know what I mean? Like, it's just really weird. Yeah, I don't know crazy. If I'm getting those numbers right, but he's just, it's just really goofy. It's a lot goofier than I remember.
And I had talked about when I previously was watching them, that like the acting talent is just going downhill with each one, you know?
Oh yeah.
As the traps become more, you know, extreme, which because you're not going to put, like we said, you're not going to put like Brad Pitt in like a fucking freeze chamber and like throw water on him, you know?
Yeah. Or a thing where that like rips out like his rib cage.
Yeah.
Like a weird like contraption that just rips out all his bones or something.
Yeah. Yeah. You get more and more, like, B, C, D actors, you know? It just goes down.
It's just weird. There's some conversation, I think, in the sixth one with these two women. And I was just like, I have no idea what's happening. Like, who are these people? Like, what are they talking about?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, talking about, like, the John's wishes before. And, like, all this, like, I don't know. It's goofy as hell. Like I said, though, it's been fun to watch them.
Yeah.
They're definitely funny. And the traps. I mean, the traps are very brutal and hard to watch. But
they get really brutal, man. It's like crazy.
Yeah, it's really insane.
Oh man.
The one, I think I just watched one where the guy had to like, he's like press his hands. He had to get like his hands in a compactor or something. And once they were like fully smushed, he could leave. It's like, what? It's like smush both of his hands. It's like smush them to dust.
It's like, you have to appreciate life, you know?
Yeah.
To appreciate life.
The sixth one especially starts to get like
well, don't spoil it for me because I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, no, I won't spoil it, but like the subject matter that they're picking to like center stuff around. They're like trying to like say something with it, you know what I mean? It's like you insurance people, like it's weird, like medical insurance subplot and all this like weird shit. It's like
how you're meant to be there to protect us when we need you most, but really you're like, just trying to suck our money and whatever.
It's like relaying it with like Jigsaw being sick, and it's just like this is so good. These are not so like,
layered.
Make like, a stand against this stuff. You know what I mean?
Like really putting it on heavy there.
Yeah, pretty funny.
I got to watch those again.
Can't wait for Spiral.
We'll have to talk about that one at some point.
Yeah, but, try to get it in before the next episode.
So real quickly, because I've watched a lot. I want to just throw this in there. Did you watch the new Space Jam?
No, I have not still. I was going to try to before the cast, but I just didn't get around to it.
It was way worse than I thought it was going to be, dude. Like,
yeah, I heard it was really bad.
It's bad. It's more like a very expensive commercial where it's, you know, yeah, it's so weird. It feels like a giant ad and just like Warner Brothers, like just jacking themselves off and being like, look at all the shit we own. Like, look at this. We got everything. We've got all these not kid-friendly properties, but we're going to throw them in this kids movie.
So weird.
It's so like, weird. And I actually watched the original afterward, and it made it feel like a fucking masterpiece. Like, it was...
Yeah, I bet.
Like, it was like, wow, Space Jam is, like, way better than I thought compared to this other one, because... For one, there's actually a plot that, you know, they actually have, like, multiple basketball players because, you know, the Monstars, they steal the powers. And but you also have, like, other talent, like Bill Murray and just, like, a bunch of, like, other actors that are in this. And there's, like, an actual plot where this, it's, it's such a blur because it's, like, almost the entire, movie is the game where, like.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, the whole movie's the game. Like, he almost immediately gets sucked in, and he's got to, like, do the... He just got to play the game. And it's, like, an overextended game. And then it ends, and that's it. It's just, like...
Weird.
It's really bad. Really bad.
Yeah. It looked really bad. Like, and I keep thinking I need to watch it, but every time I sit down, I'm like, oh, am I really going to do it? Like, I don't know. You know, like... I need to eventually. I heard The Nun is from Ken Russell's The Devils, isn't it?
Probably. There's so much in that, dude.
Like that blew my mind. It's like, okay, this nun masturbates with a fucking femur in The Devils, and the movie is, like, banned. Like, Warner Brothers won't release it, but they put the character in the movie.
That's, like, really weird.
Like, they won't put it out on physical media or anything, but in the U.S. at least. And it's, like, truncated. It's, like, not extended or not the original cut or whatever.
Wow.
And, yeah. But they're like, yeah, let's put it in Space Jam. Hey, let's put that gang of rapists from Clockwork Orange in Space Jam. This kids' movie. You know, like, what?
Yeah, they have many Game of Thrones references. They, they go through, like... Yeah, there's a whole DC segment. There's a whole Harry Potter segment. There's
Mad Max, too, right? I heard. There's Mad Max.
Oh, my God. It was so weird where it happened. Like, so they, like, they literally have this part where they, like, go through all the worlds. It's completely unnecessary. There is no point other than to show you these characters in these different worlds that they own. And the Mad Max sequence is just, like, so out of left field. It's just like, what is happening? And just, yeah, it's bad. It's just really bad. The whole movie, I'm just like, what is going on?
What? Just a commercial that's just flashing.
It was a commercial. In front of your face. It's a really long commercial. That's the wild. Acting, and then the acting, too, was just terrible, too. It was horrible.
Yeah, I heard LeBron is not good.
No.
He's pretty rough.
It's rough. So, yeah, I mean... If you want to experience what that was just described, you can watch it. But other than that, don't waste your time.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't go in theaters.
Like, yeah, totally. Seems like it might be a good candidate for some Skyward Sword background.
Watch, yeah. You know. There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really funny.
Yeah.
So. Fucking Space Jam.
But anyway, I just want to see if you had seen that. But I want to talk about... First of all, I'm going to be a few in a row here, you know, going back and forth. But I've been going on, like, a sword and sorcery kick because leading to Green Knight. And then even afterward, I'm like, man, I haven't seen, like, a lot of these classic films. And I love this kind of shit. Like, why have I not seen this stuff? So, but this isn't a classic. I watched, this was, like, an independent film. I text you about it. But I watched the Headhunter.
Yeah.
And it's a 2018 film, like, lower budget film. It's just one guy in this movie. And basically what happens is he loses his daughter to a monster. and he's hell-bent on, like, destroying every monster, especially the one who killed his daughter, finding that monster again.
Yeah.
And getting its head for revenge. I was actually really impressed with the production value. Like, he had, like, legit armor and, like, cool props, and, like, his home was, like, a medieval-looking cabin, and it looked pretty cool. I didn't expect, like, the extreme fantasy aspect of, like, there's, like, actual magic involved, and he does, like, he concocts this mixture that heals his wounds. And so when he comes back from battle, he mixes the guts of the monster and, like, does this potion, and then he, like, lets it sit out on this windowsill. And then when he comes back and he's wounded, he pours it on himself, and he passes out, and then the next day he's fine. But something goes bad with that, and it has something to do with, like, the monster he's trying to kill. And it's pretty awesome. I recommend. I think you should definitely check it out, dude.
Hell yeah.
It sounds
cool. What was it on again? You said it was on a streaming thing, right? Was it on Netflix?
I think it's on Shudder or Prime.
Oh, Shudder. Nice.
It's definitely on Shudder.
Okay, cool. I got Shudder.
Yeah. But it was cool because it was like a fantasy movie, but it was like horror as well.
Yeah.
Which is like, totally. I feel like a rare mix. We should have more of those.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not like an amazing film because it was really low budget, and there's some things that are wonky, like, due to the budget, there's a lot of stuff you don't get to see, but they're things that are implied. But then they, like, go all out with, like, practical effects near the end, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, slow burn.
It is a slow burn, yeah. Not too long. It's not, like, too long.
You gotta save it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I really enjoyed it. So check it out. The Headhunter.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I watched the first two of a trilogy called Daimajin. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
I saw you log that.
Yeah, so it's basically like the residents of this small town, old Japan, and these, like, bandit guys come in. They like, stop this ceremony that this small village is doing to this mountain god. And kind of, like, want to take over the town or whatever. So once they stop this... So once they stop the ceremony, kind of, like, awakens this, like, guy, this, like, this big statue on the mountain that kind of comes to life, and it's kind of like an old, like, a Godzilla-style, like, kaiju movie, but it's with this, like, giant, like, statue god, and it's pretty fucking sick.
Nice.
There's three. I watched the first two. Both different directors. I think all three were produced simultaneously. The first is the guy who directed on the Yokai Monster series, which I've been intrigued to watch, and some of the Zatoichi stuff. But yeah, both really killer. I'm really excited to watch the second one. First one has a lot of cool, like, fire effects, and there's also, like, for certain shots, like, an actual practical, like, giant puppet that they shoot, like, for perspective, which is pretty crazy. When it's not, like, a guy in a suit, you know? But there's still, like, animatronic eyes and, like, all these cool, like, overlay effects. The second one has a lot of, like, water effects. There's, like, a parting of, like, this lake where he, like, walks out and the lake's parted, and it's all, like, matte paintings and, like animation compositing and stuff.
Nice.
Really cool.
When did it come out?
I think, like, in the, like, early 70s, late 60s.
So it's older. It's of its time.
1966, yeah. Okay. But I think there was, I believe there was some sort of, like, reboot or, like, series based off it that came out, like, within the past 10 years, but haven't seen those. But, yeah, that was, Arrow put that out, and, I'd been looking forward to those for a while. I'd been like, ooh, can't wait for that box set, baby. And I just watched the first two right away. And yeah, they're bangers. I would definitely recommend them. I think they're also, I don't have the service because I feel like I would be upset by how many of them I have on disc, but I know Arrow has a streaming service, and I think they're all on that as well.
Oh, they have a streaming service.
Yeah, Arrow launched, like, I think like a couple months ago, they launched like a channel or whatever.
Oh, shit.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, now I'm like, great, I own all these. Kind of like with Shudder. Just like, oh shit, there's a lot of good stuff on here, and a lot of it is on also on my to-watch shelf filled with Blu-rays I haven't watched yet, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, man.
So I, like, can't, you know...
Physical media's dying, dude.
It's fucking dead.
It is, it's kind of dead.
Although, there's been a lot of 4K stuff getting announced. You know?
Yeah.
A lot of 4K stuff. Just saw today, Universal announced a box set of, like, the old, Universal Monster movies.
I like that.
Not including Creature from the Black Lagoon, though. Just kind of
weird.
It's like Dracula, Frankenstein, The Mummy, and Wolfman.
Wolfman, yeah.
HD.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Might be worth picking up. Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I can't believe I had never seen this movie. Willow.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Watch Willow.
I never watched Willow before. But
I'm overdue on a rewatch of Willow. It's been since I was like young, I think. But
yeah. And I mainly wanted to watch it. Well, mainly sold me on watching it because I've had it in my like to watch list for fucking ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Disney Plus. I had it on my list there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So what sold me was I watched a video about David Lowery talked about his inspirations and stuff for Green Knight.
Oh yeah, I saw he mentioned it in like an interview or something.
It was one of his biggest influences, so I was like, well yeah, I should watch it. So I did, and I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I think people have a really big nostalgic fondness for it.
Definitely.
As a father though, I was like distraught by the baby stuff. Mm-hmm. Like they're like riding down a hill, like holding the baby like this.
Yeah.
But they
just shaking it around.
But also like laying it down, it's just like crying. It's like being just like water being poured on it from like the rain. Just like the baby out of there. Come on.
Yeah.
That poor thing. Like, what are you doing? It's like I just wanted to help really it so funny. Bad.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I like your perspectives change like that. But
mm-hmm.
No, but yeah, it was enjoyable. Val Kilmer was great in it.
Nice.
He was really good in it. I was like,
hell yeah, I remember him being good. But
yeah, he was awesome. Like classic Val.
Yeah.
And it was just like a cool world and one of the better like production, higher production of this genre, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously stuff has aged, but it was also the start of some digital effects too. And even some of those are like kind of impressive for the time. It's like, okay, cool. Like back in 88, it's like this stuff didn't exist. So that was cutting edge at the time. So it's worth even looking back for that. But yeah, it's pretty good. Enjoyable.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Willow.
Yeah.
Warwick Davis, right?
Warwick Davis. He was awesome. Yeah. So young in it.
Yeah, totally. Isn't that one of his like first things?
Probably, yeah. Directed by Ron Howard. Which is really interesting.
Our boy Ronnie.
Yeah.
Well, not our boy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Ronnie. But a boy Ronnie.
Yeah, different Ronnie. Sorry, Ronnie.
Yeah, different Ronnie.
really
funny.
Story by George Lucas.
Oh shit, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I need to rewatch that.
Yeah.
It's on Disney Plus. Maybe I'll give it
a It's on Disney Plus. Check it out, man.
I do have that fantasy itch post Green Knight, you know what I mean?
Like, I'm still hooked. I have a whole list that I'm wanting to watch.
Nice.
Classic 80s and 70s stuff.
What else is on your list?
I think next I'm gonna watch Excalibur.
Nice.
I also wanna watch Beastmaster. which I haven't seen.
Beastmaster Rules.
Yeah.
But that was like my favorite of, like, aside from Conan, probably.
Yeah, and I've seen Conan. Conan's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's like the top of the list for sword and sorcery shit.
Yeah, totally. But I remember Beastmaster being pretty sick.
Yeah, no, the poster looks awesome. Excalibur. It's like that's a good, it's an Arthurian tale, so matches with Green Knight, but I might as well just segue into the other one I watched. I watched Highlander for the first time too.
Oh, nice. Wow.
It was awesome. Yeah. It was like bad, but it was awesome. Like I kind of loved it. It's not good. It's not a good movie, but it was like, you could tell like they wanted to get like they wanted everything in a movie. Like that's why it was like so big in the 80s. Just
like, kind of like the big pot. It's like, put everything in, baby. Yeah. Let's do it up.
You've got like modern 80s, like dirty city grunge cop stuff. You've got Highland fantasy, Scottish medieval fights. You've got wizards, and you have like the gothic dark guy with their, you know, there's sex in it, you know, and boobies.
Yeah,
and
like,
it's like, it's got like everything like that you would want in like a pulp 80s movie.
Yeah, totally.
And Sean Connery. It's amazing. It's a really enjoyable movie. I feel like even from now, it's one that I'll just like fondly look at. That one really struck me because it was just like, why haven't I seen this? And it's just like, it's got everything you want in like a
pulpy
movie. It's got everything. So, and like, it's like I said, it's not good. There's so many bad acting parts, like the cheesy action too. Like they go all out with the sword fights, which is cool. They have like a final duel, but like these swords, there's just like everything they touch sparks and catches fire.
so much stuff in the atmosphere all the time, like smoke or like sparks.
There's a lot of smoke and effects. Yeah. They're like running on top of cars, sword fighting. Like, why?
Yeah, so silly.
Yeah, but
gotta really amp it up, baby.
Yeah, really enjoyable movie. Really fun to watch.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Gotta watch
the
others.
Have you seen I haven't seen it since high school, but we read the like Green Knight in like a class that I had in high school. And I remember my teacher was like, I know that there's a movie adaptation of this, but I can't find it. I wanted us to be able to watch it in class, but I can't get a copy of it. So I like tracked down a copy of the movie.
Oh, amazing.
And it's a Sean Connery movie. He's in it. It's like, I think it's
called I've heard of it.
The Valiant.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
You should check that out.
Yeah,
I've seen it since then, but I remember it being pretty funny. And I'm pretty sure Sean Connery plays the Green Knight.
I think he does. I've watched the trailer because I had a conversation recently with my buddy Mike, who's seen it. And he showed me the trailer, and it looks terrible. Like, the main guy has like a very obvious blonde wig. You know, and Sean Connery's the Green Knight.
Yeah,
I should definitely watch
remember
that.
It being pretty rough. It'd be a fun one to watch though.
For sure.
I, like, thought of it. I think I have it on DVD. I was like, maybe I'll watch that.
Yeah, I should check it out. Yeah, it's a good reminder. I need to watch that.
You've seen Legend, right?
Legend. I'm not sure. No, I haven't.
You should definitely watch.
I know that's
Legend.
Another one. Yeah,
that's a good one to put on the list.
I've missed the whole genre for some reason. Yeah, Ridley Scott. Yeah. Remember seeing that around when I was looking up stuff.
Yeah, that movie's sick. If you can, you should try to find... There's the theatrical version has a nice Tangerine Dream score, but it's removed from the director's cut, which is kind of a bummer.
Oh, Ridley Scott and his director's cuts. He loves them.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes it's a win, sometimes it's a lose, you know?
Yeah.
Up for speculation. The orchestral score is good, but, you know, I'm biased.
So I should seek out the theatrical then, not the director.
I would say I would recommend the theatrical. It's also a little shorter. There's some cool, blacklight effects with the devil that isn't in the main one too.
Makes sense that it's shorter. Tim Curry as well.
Mm-hmm.
See the devil.
Yeah.
makes
like the big ass horns. I feel like in the theatrical cut, he's a lot more like shrouded until the end. Where in the theatrical cut and in the director's cut, he's always just like, "Look at me, I'm crazy," you know what I mean? Which is also cool. Like, I'm sure I haven't compared them closely enough, but I'm sure there's stuff in the director's cut that's like also cool that isn't in the theatrical. But
this was just like a popular genre then, you know? Like, let's bring it back, totally. Bring it back, man.
I know. I want more. I love them. They were like, oh, we can just make these like out in the hills, and you just need a few costumes, like so many like low budget ones, you know? And then there will be like one crazy set piece or something like
that. Yeah. Like, I was having a conversation with some recently, like, why aren't there more of those? And it's like budget. And it's like, you know, look at these movies. Yeah, you know, they were not high budget. They just like went out in the fucking woods and like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't feel like you can still make it effective. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Another one,
what were you going to say?
I was going to say the one I had talked about, I think a couple episodes ago that I had watched was Hawk the Slayer, which you...
Oh, yeah, totally. I still haven't checked out Hawk the Slayer.
You gotta watch that movie, dude. I love that one. Yeah. Yeah. You gotta watch that one for sure.
Yeah. I need to.
That's a good... deep cut in the genre, I think, for anyone that it was awesome. Like one of those sword and sorcery real so bad it's good. Worth checking out. Very silly, takes itself seriously.
Have you seen not to keep beating this to death, but Fire and Ice?
No.
That's a cool animated one.
Okay.
It's Ralph Bakshi, who did like the animated Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
And Frank Frazetta, who did the original Conan drawings.
Oh, yeah.
Director on it. And it's all like rotoscope animated. So it's like they filmed all of it live action.
Frank Frazetta is a really good artist.
Yeah, totally.
He did like all the classic Dungeons and Dragons stuff, too. Hell yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like you'd probably dig that. The art style is really cool. It's definitely just like an animated Frank Frazetta. It's like the goal, like, movie, you know? He did like all the posters and stuff.
Frank Frazetta. So cool. Love it.
That's a sick one.
Check that one out, too. Got a list going.
UHD of that coming out.
Oh, shit.
Like, pretty soon. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I got to get on this. Got to absorb this whole genre. That's my goal now.
Yeah, get them all in, baby.
Get them in. All right. Anyway, what else you got?
Yeah. Well, I went and I saw Pig.
So you went and saw it? I was going to ask how you saw it.
Yeah.
So I really want to see it.
My first one back. And yeah, it was good. It was worth going to, I would say. I enjoyed it. Without giving too much away, I feel like what I liked about it was that it very much seems like it could and will be a certain movie, and it's not. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm waiting on... It's like Nick Cage revenge. Like, I want my truffle pig back. You know what I mean? And, like, I can see that going a certain way. Where, like, Nicolas Cage is, like, beating the fuck out of people. Being like, where's my pig? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not that movie. And I feel like that's... its strength, in a way. It feels like it's almost like a response to that kind of movie. In a way that I wasn't totally expecting. And yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was really nice, and it was like something that just had like a good like view or like point. You know what I mean? I felt like it resonated, and it was. I knew it wasn't gonna be some like crazy like John Wick, but I think it was a little more somber than I was even expecting going in. But yeah, it was good.
I enjoyed it. I want to watch it.
First time filmmaker. I would recommend going to see it. It's worth going to see, I would say. Solid, like, 4-star movie. It's, like, very much a 4-star.
Hell yeah. I love that.
Yeah, totally.
There's a lot of movies are finally coming out again, you know? It's fucking great.
Yeah, exactly.
It's exciting.
It's like the trash that they dumped because they knew it was going to fail.
Yeah, because you know what I mean? No, I feel like that's anywhere. All.
Yeah, I feel like all the movies that came out, aside from No Sudden Move, which I enjoyed.
Yeah, but, I did too.
I feel like they've all just been trash, and it's just like just dumping them. You know what I mean? They're like,
oh, for sure.
Oh, well, act like we're doing this thing because of this, but really we're just getting all the fucking shit out of the way and pretend to get some points for it, you know?
Of course, down in Florida, shit's getting back to terrible again, but that's another issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we just had the nice super spreader event of Lollapalooza here in Chicago.
Right. That was going on.
Yeah, which at first it was like, oh yeah, I mean, it's outside. And then you see, I saw the photos from it, and I was like, oh my god. Just like giant wides of like thousands of people, like packed like sardines, and you know,
it's, you like, know what?
Real, there's like one guy wearing a mask, like real tiny. It's like, oh my god.
It's also kind of shitty because it's, you know, it's at a point when you really think about it, it's like not funny because it's like there's a, like some, like you see that picture and there's gonna be people that are like probably dead in there. You know, like
it's crazy. It's yeah,
fucked, dude.
Yeah, it's really bad. So
it's really bad down in Florida. Really, yeah,
getting real bad down there.
Yeah, because our governor didn't give a shit, and he just made he just passed a law that schools can't enforce or mandate masks at school.
Wow, what a cool rule! Yeah, it's pretty stupid.
It's like,
you can't even mandate it if the school decides that. Like, it's not up to the school anymore.
The school cannot.
Up to the individual.
Yep.
And everyone's just told that you don't have to, so fucking no one's going to.
Yeah, they don't promote it down here.
Yeah.
Because it takes away your freedom. Takes away your freedom.
Yeah.
Not to go far down that rabbit hole, but fuck it.
No, I mean, it's brutal. I watched The Green Knight, and it was more packed than I thought it was going to be, and I was like, ooh, there's a lot of people here, and I was like, I've been reading about that variant, and I sat there for a second before the movie started. I was like, is this going to be my last movie for a while? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like my one of my first movies back, and it's like, is that it for a bit? I don't know. Like, maybe, you know?
I was definitely feeling a little nervous, especially because I went with some buddies, and we went to, like, a bar beforehand. And it's very contagious in Florida right now. We wore masks, but like we were at our table. And I was a little nervous, but just gotta be careful, man. I was starting to think like, I'm gonna try and enjoy this because this might be the only fucking movie I go and see this year.
Yeah,
if it things keep going the way they're going. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, I want to go see Annette. I want to go see Dune. I want to go see The French Dispatch, but will I? I don't know.
See French Dispatch. Want to fucking see No Time to Die theaters.
Oh, yeah. Have they announced a date for that yet?
It's supposed to be November, I think. Or October. Okay. Don't quote me on that. It's in the fall.
For sure. But it's announced. I didn't know if they had
it's supposed to be in the fall.
Hadn't heard anything. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Fingies crossed.
Yep. Anyways.
That took a dive quick.
Shit's part of our lives, man.
Yeah, it's wild. Not going away.
It affects the movies. You know, it's not like it's irrelevant.
Yeah, totally.
But anyway, what else?
Where are we at? Were we talking pig, or was it your turn?
I guess it's my turn. You were talking pig. Yeah.
I was chatting pig over here.
So I diverted a little bit. I just wanted to throw something on the other night. And there's a documentary on Netflix called Fantastic Fungi. And, I thought, this might be interesting. And it was like very fascinating. I would recommend. Nice. It was a pretty good documentary talking about, how fungi and mushrooms and their role and like evolution and earth, and then they go into like psychedelics and how it could help diseases and things like that. Like it goes into every facet of them. And you come out like having a real appreciation for them, you know.
Nice.
It's crazy, like what, and some of the technology they're doing now with it, like it's curing diseases. It's all natural, and I don't know. It was really an interesting documentary. Like I didn't know that. A mushroom, like that's just like the apple of the fungi. Like, there's a whole
yeah.
thing underneath the ground. And that they're actually really advanced. Like, they send signals to other fungi and other plants. And, like, they help trees communicate. So, like, literally, like, if there's a, like, there are bugs attacking this one tree, a tree will send its, like, seeds and send signals through the fungi across the forest and tell, like, the seedlings to go over there, like, away from the pests.
Wow, that's fucking crazy. Yeah, like, just like, what?
Wild shit like that was in the documentary. Like, yeah, I learned that's pretty a lot. Crazy. Yeah. And, I don't know, it's really cool. And talked about, too, how the, you know, psychedelic mushroom, magic mushrooms are helping people with, like, depression and how, like, it cured a guy of stuttering and, like...
Wow, that's crazy.
One guy's, like, a certain fungi, she took, like, her treatment with no... But she was too old. She had cancer. She was too old to get chemotherapy. Mm. And, with the right dosage of a certain kind of mushroom, her cancer went away. She had stage 4 cancer and it went away. And just like really interesting stuff like
Holy
that.
Shit.
Like, and there's just not enough research done on it. You know, there just needs to be more research. And anyway, really fascinating documentary. Check it out. Fantastic fungi. It's on Netflix. Yeah, I learned a lot. So I was happy I put it on. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah.
We talking like, what's the run? Is it like a shorter doc, feature doc?
It's definitely a feature doc, but it's like not too long. I think it's like 2 hours.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Nice, nice.
Maybe a little.
I didn't know if it was like, I feel like sometimes the documentaries with Netflix can be like 45 minutes, you know,
right.
Is it like 90, you know?
Oh,
I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Here, I'll tell you right now.
Curious.
I think it's.
Let's check the TRT on that bad boy.
It's 81 minutes.
Okay, nice. Yeah.
It's nice and short.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Brisk. We love an 80-minute runtime.
Yeah.
Love it.
So.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I watched the Fear Street trilogy.
Yeah, I saw that you logged that.
Netflix movies.
Curious to hear your input, because I couldn't finish the first one.
Yeah, I found them not great in terms of, like, filmmaking, you know what I mean? Especially I feel like the first one, kind of the needle drops got really like annoying. It was like a lot of like it seemed like that it was the filmmaker had like a mixtape and he like wanted to use all of them.
Yeah.
So it was like trying to find cool ways to like transition and change stuff, but really it just was like, yeah, we get it. You like music. But
90s. Get it.
Yeah, it was like a little much. But I found all three of them pretty watchable, so it was just like, yeah, whatever, like I'll push through. I watched the first two in a row and then the third one like a week or so later. I definitely thought the second one was the best for sure.
Okay.
I feel like some of the like camp, the like killer camp dipping its toe in that genre a little bit was fun. And kind of lent itself to what the first one was trying to be. You know what I mean? And it felt like the more, like, optimum, like... Because it's clearly... I mean, they're clearly taking influence from all sorts of different, like...
Oh, for sure.
Horror genre stuff. But I feel like that's the one that kind of, like, fit the most or felt the most like it was kind of, like, on its own. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, overall, I found it kind of frustrating that, like... Because when it first got announced, I was like, this is a cool idea. Like, three movies that take place in different times.
Yeah.
Connect with each other. Like, I like the concept a lot. But really, it's just kind of a TV show with, like, flashbacks. Like, there's
very teen as well, I felt.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, that's okay. Like, yeah. I get it. Like, I'm not the target audience. But also, I felt... I just felt like it was a TV show that they edited into three movies. Like, it didn't really feel like three distinct time periods.
Right.
Like, those moments had that feeling, but neither of the sequels are entirely that. Like, you're always coming back to the present, you know?
Mm.
So, it doesn't really feel... I feel like I could have connected all the dots if I had if, like, the second one just was in the 70s. You know, it didn't start. It, like, bookends it. It's kind of like a framing device in the second one. And then the third one is just straight up half and half, pretty much.
Oh, wow.
First half of the movie is a period, and then there's, like, an hour of stuff that's...
Wow,
like,
really?
Yeah, so it's, like, so it's never fully in the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just never kind of, like, fully nestles into that structure that I thought was, like, what was going to make it interesting, you know? But that being said, they were really watchable, and I do like the idea of, like, the jumping around with time periods. They do some stuff in the third one that's, like, the cast of the first two is the cast of the third one. So, like, the main girl plays the witch or whatever in the flashback, and, like, her brother plays one of the kids, and, like, I get it, but also I could have done without it, because the second one's also a period thing, and it's, like, if it was the same cast,
yeah,
that would have maybe made more sense to me, but... It's like the second one's a period flashback, and it's not, and then the third one also is one, but it is, so it's just kind of like, it just didn't feel like very cohesive overall, but I did find it really watchable, you know, it's just kind of like easy.
Were you playing Zelda while you had it on?
Not the first two.
Okay. The third one you did.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I couldn't stand the first one was because that kid's in it from, what was the movie we watched? The Woman in the Window?
Yeah, he's a lot for sure.
And I was just like, I don't know. I was like, I couldn't.
He's definitely an overactor.
I couldn't deal with him again. just like.
He's in the third one briefly, but he's not in a lot of the other stuff. But yeah, I do feel like it took some chances. You said you only watched half of the first one?
Yeah.
It took some chances at the end that I wasn't expecting, which I think kind of made me like be like, okay, like I'll check out part two, you know?
Maybe I'll finish it.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't great. I would definitely say part two is the best one, but I mean, also if you were like really out on the first one, then probably not, you know?
Yeah, I guess I just haven't been in the mindset for it. I liked Maya Hawke in the beginning of the first one.
Is that like, the lead actress?
She's the one from Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah.
She's in the very beginning. She gets killed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That whole part, I was like, I was in.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like something afterwards. I was like, oh, maybe this is just like too teen for me. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there's, like, they come up in the school bus, and it's, like, a tracking shot through a high school with speed ramps with, like, five different song changes.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot for sure.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely a lot, but, yeah, I don't know.
I'm curious to check out the second one, though, if you say that
one's better. In contrast to watching six Saw movies, they're pretty, like, watchable. going down easy, you know?
Yeah.
Honestly, because it felt like a TV show. It felt like a TV show, like I binged. And I feel like that, while if it was that, I probably would have liked it more just because I had that kind of, just structurally, that concept.
It does feel like that, yeah.
You know what I
mean? It does feel like it should have been, like, they even, like, put them in separate films, but they could have, like, at least put them under, like, one, like, they have the same logo, but I mean banner as in, like, put them in one, you, like, go to Fear Street, and then you, like, see three episodes or something, like.
Horror. Yeah, because the third one, I guess, somewhat of a spoiler, but I already said it's, like, two halves.
Yeah.
There's, like, a title card, and it's, like, 1994 part two, like, halfway through the movie.
Oh, wow.
So it's, like, oh, so this, like, isn't a movie, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, no one would watch this movie on its own.
You would never just watch it on its own. Yeah.
No, and it feels like if it was kind of separated, like you could just watch part two and it's its own thing, but it connects with the events that happen in part one that connect to part three. You know what I mean?
Right.
It did feel very like interdependent on each other, like a TV show. That was a little disappointing, but so I feel like maybe it was would be a little more successful as a show, but I still thought it was like, it's easy, you know, it was fun.
Yeah.
Fun enough.
Netflix putting out stuff, you know.
Yeah, it's very Netflix.
Yeah, sure. Very Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cool. I guess last thing I'll talk about. I pretty much binged. It's not much of a binge because they're like all really short. But I watched Love, Death, and Robots, the season 2.
Oh, nice. Hell yeah.
It was cool, man. You should. I mean, have you ever seen any of these?
I saw the first season.
First season. This one is way shorter.
Yeah,
I think it's even half the size.
Oh wow,
it's really short. Each episode is like 15 to 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Really short stuff. I liked it overall. I think there were some really cool concepts that were explored, but the downside to that is they like bring up those concepts and don't really dive into them.
Yeah.
And if you just made them a little longer and explored it a little bit more or something, some of them are like really nice CGI, really nice animation of these like futuristic scenes. And like one in particular I'm thinking of with Michael B. Jordan, where it actually mixes live action with CG.
Oh, that's cool.
And it looks awesome. And so he gets like stuck on this like planet and he has to try and escape. And that's like all it is. It's like just literally like a scene of he's stuck here, he tries to get off, and like he tries to survive, and like that's it. And then it's like, okay. Looked cool, I guess, you know, but like that's it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So there's a lot of those.
A little too like nuggety, just a little too short, maybe.
Some don't, yeah, they just like don't, a lot of them don't have a beginning, middle, and end. You know, it's not like a complete story. It's a lot of them were just like the middle or just the beginning. There were a couple though that were really, really decent. There was one, the Drowned Giant was a really interesting one, just like a concept. And apparently it's based off a short story. But it's sort of just like a weird event that happened in this town and like exploring that a little bit. And then like, that's it. Like that's all you get of it. There was one that I think my favorite was one that actually felt like a really short sci-fi movie.
Nice.
And that was satisfying. There's another one that like presented a concept. It was very much like Blade Runner-esque. It had, it's called Pop Squad. Presents this like horrifying reality that they're living in, and that one had a beginning, middle, and end, I would say. So it sort of varies. The most interesting stuff is like the animation, the styles. There's like they're all completely different styles and animation styles.
Yeah, which is cool.
Yeah, so it's worth checking out, and you can breeze right through them. So yeah, I recommend
it. Yeah, like
it.
How long are they? Like 15 minutes or
yeah, like I said, like even? 15 to 20 minutes.
Okay,
yeah. Most of them are like 15, 17 minutes, 18 minutes. I think the longest is like 20.
Nice and short.
Really short. They're like nothing. But yeah, like I said, I binged them in like one night. It was like only a few hours of my time, and it was done. So yeah, recommend checking it out. I enjoyed it overall. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I liked season one. So
yeah, I did too. Yeah, I think overall I like season one, at least what I remember from it, more.
A little better.
Because there was just more content. But this one had some good ones. Had some pretty good ones. Yeah.
Shorts are always hard, especially like shorts coming from different people. It's like watching a shorts block at a festival or something, you know?
Yeah.
It's like there's always going to be the ones that stand out and the ones that are like, oh, okay, you know.
But I do like the... And then they all have some themes which are just...
Yeah.
They're all like...
Cool sci-fi ideas.
Sci-fi, animation, mature. Yeah, like not for kids.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, yeah. Love, nice. Death, and Robots. Finally watched that on Netflix.
Hell yeah. Real quick, I got like one more thing I can touch on, which is this movie called White of the Eye. Have you ever seen this? Heard about it?
Sounds familiar.
I don't really know what the director's done. Donald Campbell, I guess. Oh, the director did Demon Seed, which we watched.
Oh, yeah.
Which I actually didn't realize until now. But
no, I haven't seen
pretty, it. Pretty terrifying movie. It's about like a woman who is like suspecting her husband of being a serial killer. Oh. And it's kind of like going between like old memories and current time and like, is it him? Could it be his friend? Could it be someone else? And like, he's just a victim in all this. And like, so it is kind of like a isn't he, you know, thing, but it's really uncomfortable a lot of the time and has a pretty fucking crazy finale.
I'm into that.
There's definitely another thing, another movie that just takes a lot of risks. There's a lot of stuff in it that I was like, whoa, are they like doing this in this movie right now? You know?
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe that's bad, but I feel like those get me a lot of the time. You know what I mean? Like, I appreciate those bold swings, even when it's like shock stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
That at least fits in the story. You know what I mean? Yeah. Not necessarily shock for shock's sake, like Saw, but you know, something that like there's just times that I was like, this is like fucking scary. You know what I mean? Like, it's like pretty intense and like white knuckle at certain parts. A lot of like really weird stylistic stuff in it too. It has a really strange style. Worth a watch, I would say. I enjoyed it. It's like late 80s.
Sounds interesting.
I'm trying to think who even is in it that I don't really know any. I feel like everyone was like vaguely recognizable, but I can't put my finger on what any of them were in. You know what I mean?
Mm.
It's kind of one of those movies, but definitely some really gnarly serial killer stuff. So, yeah, if you're into that.
Okay.
I think you dig it. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah, it's good.
I like crime pretty stuff. Intense. So.
Yeah.
Hell Scary. Yeah. Alrighty.
Yeah, would recommend. I think it's on Shudder. I think I watched on Shudder. So
I guess so. Watch. Last thing I'll talk about. I watched a new 2021 movie last night. My wife and I, we were curious about it. How It Ends. Have you heard of this movie?
No.
How It Ends.
I don't think I have.
Maybe. Little indie film, directed by Zoe Lister-Jones, who also stars in it, and co-written by her, and directed and co-directed by her and her boyfriend, I believe, Daryl Wine. Stars Kaylee Spaney, who's I like her work, but she's been some stuff that's been up and coming, and like a bunch of cameos of celebrities throughout this. Uh-huh. Like Fred Armisen, Colin Hanks, Olivia Wilde, Paul Schreier, Pauly Shore, Helen Hunt.
Oh, shit.
Bunch of people.
Also, director of The Craft Legacy.
Oh, did she direct Craft Legacy? Oh, I didn't realize that was her.
That's crazy. Yeah, she directed Craft Legacy.
Oh, well, that makes sense why she brought Kaylee Spaney in, because she was in that movie.
No, I think I've seen like stuff for this, but I haven't seen a trailer or anything. How It Ends.
But yeah. Anyway, I'll say that I was a little disappointed in it. I thought it would be a lot funnier than it was.
That's a bummer.
And it's not necessarily bad. It just. Let me first off tell you, it's about like it's a apocalyptic comedy about like it's the last day on Earth, and it's like people that are going around and like doing whatever they want to do, like make amends. So people are planning to get like fucked up, but there's this meteor coming, and so Zoe Lister-Jones, her character, who's also the director writer, Kaylee Spaney plays her younger self. This is something that's like never really explained, but some people see her and some people don't. and then some people have younger selves with them and some others don't. It's never explained.
Weird.
I don't understand it. But anyway, she's with her younger self, and she goes and she's on her way to this party at the end of the night. It's the last day on Earth. And she makes amends with all her friends and meets all kinds of wacky people throughout LA and the hills of LA. And so the whole movie is them walking. But it really feels disconnected in the sense that it just feels like a bunch of vignettes.
Yeah, totally.
With cameos, just like cameo, vignette, without any real cohesive sort of connection between any of them. And then there's like some moments, flashes of like good stuff and some good acting, and then others it's sort of like, okay, well, that was like a really, you know, cool celebrity that just like seemed to be riffing on dialogue, and
yeah,
they're just like riffing. And so it was just, it definitely felt like it was shot over COVID, you know, because it's like, didn't require much, just like, you know, real small crew going around, two people walking around the street and then meeting whoever's at their homes. It felt like they just like went to their houses in LA. So it was really just okay. And that's all I can really say about it. Like, I don't think you really need to go out of your way to see it. The best part was seeing like a bunch of like celebrities pop up. And there are some moments, like I said, of decent acting, but in the end it just sort of felt really dull, and not really too inventive or imaginary. Yeah, it felt like very much like a result of COVID movie.
Yeah, totally. Like, where it's like not about that, but like this wouldn't have been made this way if
no. It wasn't. And like, let's and also just like, let's just shoot something sort of vibe. Like, let's just shoot something. We're all not doing anything. Let me come over to your house, Paul Schreier, and let's just like shoot some stuff outside your house real quick, and then like we'll leave.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it is what it is. Gave it 2.5 stars. It's okay.
Yeah, not really worth checking out.
Nah.
Yeah, I feel you.
It's also, it was Emily's birthday yesterday, so we like wanted to watch something.
Oh, nice.
We were like, hey, let's, you know. And I paid way too much for this. We rented it for $10.
Oh, damn.
Don't do that. I'm just letting you know, don't do that. If it's free and you want to like check it out, I guess it's fine. But yeah,
not worth the $10.
No, not definitely not worth $10.
Yeah, a lot of expensive rentals out there these days, you know.
Yeah,
I was like, I wanted to see Zola, and I heard that it was like not really worth going to the theater.
Really?
So I was like, that's a bummer. Okay,
because I want to see Zola.
Yeah, I was kind of curious about it, but and then I was like, oh, cool, well, it's coming to VOD on Friday, I'll just rent it. This was, like, last week, and then it came out, and it was $20, so it's like, oh, cool, I'll rent it in a couple weeks.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
$20 like, rental?
Not going to pay $20 to rent that.
That's too much. That's way too much.
That's way too much, yeah. It's like, I don't know, 10 maybe would have got me for a movie like that, that I was going to pay $10 to see in the theater, but...
Oof.
$20 rental. Not for me. No. I'll wait.
No, that's way too much. Get out of here. Get out of here with that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that ends it for me.
Yeah. I don't think I have anything else, really.
Alrighty then. Well, we are going to get into our non-spoiler review for The Green Knight. Starting right now.
Friends. Brothers and sisters. Who can regale me and my queen with some myth? Or tale?
Your knights try to land a blow against me. Indulge me in this game.
I will meet thee.
We are now talking about A24's The Green Knight. It is directed and written by David Lowery. It's based on, it's a retelling of the medieval story of Sir Gawain, or is it Gawain?
I don't know. I think it's Sir Gawain.
Sir Gawain? We're going to pronounce them all today.
I always said, Gawain, but I have no idea if I'm...
It's Sir Gawain. Anyway.
Could be either.
I don't know. And the Green Knight, it's this medieval story, written by Anonymous. No one knows who wrote it, but it is a like sort of classic Arthurian tale. Mm-hmm. And this is like a retelling of that. It stars Dave Patel, Alicia Vikander, Joel Edgerton. And those are the main stars. Sean Harris, some other people.
Barry Keoghan or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Keoghan. Kate Dickey as the queen.
Scary lady who is in The Witch.
Yeah. And Game of Thrones as well.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Let's talk about this movie. We're going to talk non-spoilers here. I'm going to be quite frank with you, Zach. I think that my... review will be a little bit more hazy than yours because I saw this movie very late at night, and so I was
getting a little sleepy,
very tired. I'd had a few beers. I stayed awake, but to be honest with you, it was like so late that I was just like, I feel like I need to watch it again. I do remember most of it, but I might be hazy on some details, so
yeah, for
just
sure,
just throwing that out there.
So you had a lot of hype for this thing. How would you say it measured up to your hype?
Yeah, that's a good question. I did have a lot of hype. I would say that it was different than I expected. I did go in with an open mind. I felt like I had a decent sense of what it might be. It felt even more like dreamlike and sort of hypnotic than I had expected.
Yeah.
Felt very, I can't think of the right word, but it was like very much like a wandering sort of character piece, more so than I imagined. I wasn't against that. I was kind of pleasantly surprised, but it was different than I expected.
Definitely.
I do think I had to like sort of process it a bit. But overall, I liked it. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I will say, I do think that it might... Not that I think it misled itself in the marketing, but it definitely seemed like... I was like, is this going to be like a matcha... Like, become like a matcha action thing at some point? You know what I mean? Or like hyper-masculine. Like, it seemed like it could go that direction where it was like real crazy. You know what I mean? But I feel like it was... which I also thought was kind of a pleasant surprise, but also like made a lot more sense, because I thought it was kind of like a weird movie for him to make, and now having seen it, while I do think it's my favorite movie of his I've seen, and really? I also do think I do think you can tell like that he made it, like if you've seen other stuff,
it's definitely his style.
Yeah, it wasn't what I expected. In a good way, though. I thought it was really good. Like, while it didn't end and I was like, holy shit, like, what the fuck? That was sick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do think it's kind of hard to come up with, like, a bunch of negatives about it. Overall, like, I was pretty, like, into it. I think there's maybe some, like, pacing issues.
Yeah.
And some... Fuck, I just had another thing. There's some nitpicks I have, too. But overall, I just was into the vibe and, like, the just sort of, like, old... the questiness of it. It's very much just, like, guy on a quest... coming up on all these little side things. You do the little, like, side story. You keep going with the quest, you know?
Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I was pretty much done.
I was going to say that... well, a lot to unpack from what you were saying. First of all, I like all of his films. Everything that I've seen of his... and I haven't seen all of his films, but everything that I've seen, I've enjoyed. I like David Lowery a lot as a director, and I agree that it does feel like his style. And so I was into that. Love that. But also what you're saying about the quest, it felt very much like an homage to a lot of those types of older films and that sort of 80s idea of like medieval going on a quest and that fantasy type thing. But on its own complete version of that.
Totally.
Like a completely unique version. It's not
tonally like that.
No. But
like, on it's paper, like, it's that vibe.
Yeah, you it's get a that weird vibe.
Middle ground.
And even like it has like some of the titles and things like that, but it felt very much like a very fresh, renewed version of that genre, which I really respect and enjoy because it's like, that's hard to sort of do. But it's like, wow. But also when you see it, it's like, why aren't there other people doing this? You know, like taking this sort of more cinematic, ethereal sort of... like soft focus sort of indie vibe on this setting. I thought that was really kind of cool.
Like this kind of genre stuff.
Yeah.
It was a nice mesh of having practical elements and ideas that do call back to that like swords and sorcery genre, but simultaneously also feeling really modern.
Yeah, very modern.
But not like too modern where it was distracting, but
yeah.
Definitely had like it falls within the camp of like the camp that created it. You know what I mean? Of like the 824 crowd of that all that stuff, and it feels very inspired of that as well, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
But, it does feel like it is in it is a 824 film. You know, it does feel like that.
That sort of like modernish, sort of like glossy, quiet but hard hitting sort of like horror genre stuff.
It's like Midsommar vibes a little bit too. Like
totally. And I do think cinematography-wise, it had some nice sort of, like, framed back. I don't know exactly how to put it, but it was just... I think it was just a lot more, like, wide than I thought it was going to be. It's a pretty wide movie for the most part. And it was really, like, flowy, and the editing was really weird.
Gotta show that which real estate.
I really appreciated. What's that?
You know, wide, you got to show that real estate, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Shot on location in Ireland and Scotland.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and it looks incredible. Like, a lot of the shots are great. And, like, there's so many shots of, like, the scene being one take where it's just, like, a wide that's just pulling back. Or, like, even the opening shot of, like, the shed or whatever. And it's just, like, cutting between titles and, like, a wide of a shed.
Yeah.
And it's, like, title shed, and there's, like, shit in the background and... the people come in and take the horse, and it's like passing time in a weird way. A lot of things like that I really enjoyed, like editing and pacing wise. And I do think it got really weird with the way that it presented a lot of the stuff, which at times I feel like anytime you experiment with stuff like that, there's going to be big pluses and maybe some detractors that like don't work out as well.
Yeah.
But I think for the most part, it overweighed, the positive overweighed the negative. And I thought, like, stylistically, it was definitely flashy, but it was always, like, interesting, at least. Like, I wasn't really, like, bored ever. Like,
Yeah.
And it always, like, looked great. It was like, yeah, I mean, the shot's amazing.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
maybe it didn't. Maybe it didn't need to, like, spin 360 and, like, hold for that long. But also, like, yeah, I mean, it looks cool. I'm not going to say it doesn't. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I think a lot of people were saying, like, oh, it's trying to, like, I saw some reviews online. Like, oh, it's just trying to get, like, the cool shots. It's like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, totally.
That's what, like, movies do. But it wasn't, I didn't think at any point it was self-indulgent or anything. I didn't think it was,
No.
I didn't think it was self-indulgent at all. Yeah.
I thought it was, like, a bit flashy, but not necessarily to a fault.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the stuff that it's drawing from doesn't have these, like, deep substances to them. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. This is also a 2-hour, 10-minute version that I feel like is directly pointing at some stuff, but
it was longer.
I think in terms of, like, yeah, it was longer than I was expecting it to
it
be.
It was
for some reason I thought it was going to be like tight 90, and then I was
it was
like,
definitely
oh, no,
longer than,
like,
I expected. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I thought it was really good. I thought it was a nice meld of that kind of, like, fantasy vibe, but also giving kind of, like, a new spin on it, but also, like, holding back towards it and, like, not letting go, because there's a lot of, excuse me, Jesus, those Chico bubbles.
Chico boys.
Yeah, a lot of stuff, like, in, like, the writing, and especially the songs that they sing, and, like, the way that some of the dialogue's written and stuff do really remind me of that old, like, fantasy vibe, or, like,
yeah,
the... It gave that sort of, like, ancient feel, you know what I mean? Where it's, like, if everything just felt, like, old. But it didn't really necessarily feel based in any reality, which I thought was interesting. Like,
did feel more like a fantasy. Yeah.
Yeah, the clothes didn't feel, like, super... Like, when you think of, like, an Arthurian legend, like, medieval fantasy movie...
Yeah.
This was definitely, like, a lot more designed and a lot, like, slicker.
Yeah.
But I thought that was kind of, like, a positive thing, not necessarily, like, a negative thing, which I feel people have taken that as a negative thing. But.
Oh, no. I mean, he went out and set out for a fantasy film, you know?
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be historical.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So.
No, totally.
It's not a historical film. It is a fantasy film that takes place in a certain period of time. Big difference. So I loved that, and I loved a lot of the fantasy elements that are brought in that we'll talk about later, but mm-hmm. I've just and it's been longer since I've seen it. I saw it like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, so it's been like 4 days for me, and mm-hmm. You saw it yesterday, right? So
I saw it last night.
You're pretty fresh.
I
feel like I honestly might go back to the theaters and watch it again very soon.
Yeah.
Like, I might just go by myself and just go. Like, yeah, because I really just, like, want to absorb it again. Because there was just a lot to sort of take in.
I definitely think it'll be a good rewatch.
And, yeah, like, I think
excited.
So, too.
I'm excited to watch it again for sure.
Yeah.
Because it did, like I was saying, I didn't have, like, an overwhelming feeling when it was over. I don't think you were necessarily supposed to, but I also think the more I thought about it, the more I was like, yeah, I mean, all that was really good. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I have some nitpicks and I have some issues, but in the end, like, pretty banger fantasy movie.
Yeah.
To come out now. You know what I mean? Like, pretty cool. Like,
I know. It's, like, pretty cool. Like, what are you going to complain about? Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like it could. There were some things that I think it could improve on. But, yeah, like
yeah.
I was saying earlier, there's enough that I think it does weird and it does different that...
it's a modern fantasy movie. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah, totally.
Give me that. But, yeah. I think we're pretty much... I'll pause there.
Sorry, my cat was trying to get out.
Okay. But yeah, I think that we're pretty much on the same page with it.
Yeah.
So, cool.
Yeah. Solid flick. I think, I guess before we get into spoilers, really like the score a lot.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of it too. I felt like the first half of the movie was just like, thing was just fucking flying, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, I feel like especially that, like, second chapter or whatever.
Yeah.
They really got weird with the editing. And that was one where it was maybe, like, I was, like, a little confused on the timeline. But then eventually I got it, and I was like, oh, okay, I get what they're doing here.
Yeah.
But definitely seemed like they were trying to, like, work in different ways to, like, deliver the information, and the edit's real weird, and, like, you're dissolving around all these different, like, scenes, and it has a really interesting flow to it in the beginning that I think it kind of loses, like, in the halfway, like, quarter, three-quarter point.
Yeah.
In terms of pacing, but I also feel like that's kind of like an adventure trope where there's like a spot that they stay for like a little too long. You know what I mean?
Where they go on this,
like, an extended stay.
It's sort of like they're on this really long journey and they lose themselves along the way. Like a lot of films do that where they're on this long journey and then, yeah, about 3/4 of the way they're either out of luck, out of hope, out of supplies, out of something, and time feels weird. And they finally reach the destination when they think like all hope is lost, sort of thing. I like that. But to get to your point about the music, that was done by Daniel Hart, who's done all his films.
Yeah, he has. I hadn't looked it up yet who did it,
but I love his score for Ghost Story, and I really like that movie a lot. But yeah, I thought he's a great composer, great score for this.
Killer score. And like, really liked the songs, like the song in the beginning where they're like chanting and it's like tilting up in the front of the castle to the clouds and stuff.
Yeah,
and,
like, yeah, it's like
there's also that like sick narration in the beginning that's like the old like poem, and yeah. I just really liked
that was sick. Like, yeah
to just like sort of set the stage and like set the world, and it had a good, like, almost like the Lord of the Rings vibe. I feel like the vibe that they're, like, going for in The Hobbit, but they're just, like, don't get, where they're all, like, singing, like, the old songs of, like, the dwarf halls and, like, stuff like that, that, like,
that's
really
sort
make
of that
it feel
essence.
Like a lived-in world, you know what I mean?
Totally.
Where it's, like, these people have a history, like, you're not seeing
exactly
all of it.
Go ahead.
No, I just think it nailed that vibe, and it did make it feel like it extended beyond, and that there like was history to everything, you know what I mean?
Which is exactly what you want in a fantasy film. You want that to feel
Absolutely.
Realistic. You want it to feel lived in, and like this old world that you've just stumbled upon, but it has a history. It has it's everything you want in a fantasy movie, and so totally agree.
For sure.
Awesome. Well, we're gonna move on to our spoiler review.
Before you get into our spoiler segment, I'd like to interject to discuss that special deal from our sponsor again. For the listeners of the Listen to Us Roundabout Movies podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/LTURAM. Again, that's audibletrial.com/LTURAM for your free audiobook.
You rest your bones. I'll finish your quest for you.
This honor. That is why a knight does what he does.
Are you ready?
All right, we are now in spoilers for
the Green Knight. Zach, you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I think my biggest complaint is just I feel like right before the end when he stops to see at the Joel Edgerton castle and stuff, I feel like that just kind of halted the pace a little bit. Which I like the scenes in there. Definitely wasn't expecting this movie to have shots of cum in it. That was surprising.
Yeah, that was
that was a surprising one.
I think the whole theater was like awkward. It was an awkward moment.
Yeah, totally. I liked that moment though. I was like,
honestly,
wasn't expecting that.
It didn't it fit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was sense. Good. Like, I was into it. I just wasn't expecting it.
Yeah,
shit. Didn't know this was gonna go there. I thought that was interesting, but it kind of felt like one of the other stops or little trial things, you know. But I don't know if it even was, but it just felt long when he was there, and I was like, okay, I'm kind of ready for him to go.
Yeah, spot. It did sort of feel a little long. Like that could have even cut up a little bit shorter. And the movie was already at a long runtime at that point too, so it was
totally.
It was just,
and I think a lot of that's. A lot of it's earned because I feel like the pace is so slow and weird and sloshy that I really didn't think about length at all until that point. Because I feel like every time something was starting to happen, it just kind of resolved itself, and it was just a neat little side mission excursion almost. You know what I mean? Which is great. I love that. But that one. And I do think it's funny because I feel like it is kind of almost a trope in a lot of adventure things or journey movies, you know?
Totally.
But yeah, it's just a little too long. I feel like it just kind of, I was just a little ready for it to happen, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Because it did feel a little long, and then you're sort of ready for it to, let's get there.
Yeah. Totally. He's like, yeah, it's just a day's journey away, the chapel. It's like, cool, you should go now.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, right now, it's right there.
Oh, cool, so I could just leave now and be there really soon? Sounds good.
I loved a lot of the sort of fantasy stuff that was introduced, like the giants. Oh, yeah.
Loved the giants.
The giants
so
is
good.
Awesome.
And the way he talked to them, and they talked, and they were just and you just couldn't even make out at all. Their voice was so pitched because they're so big. It was oh, that's a cool, you know,
and they're a different language too, a little bit.
They also bald, naked women. It was all right, breastfeeding giants.
It's strange giants. Yeah, it was really interesting.
Yeah.
So the fox got introduced earlier than I thought, and I thought it would talk throughout, but it didn't talk until
I did too.
I thought it'd be talking throughout, but it didn't do it until way later. I was like, okay.
Yeah, which I was interested in. I could have maybe used a little more of it, but the way it was framed, I was that was going in, I was like, ooh,
I know you're worried about
talking fox thing. Because it's this movie looks like it's going to go so hard. Is there going to be this cute little talking fox the whole time that's sassy or something? You know what I mean? But it was definitely not that vibe. And I feel like when it started, I was like, there's going to be a talking fox in this movie. You know what I mean? It's so serious. But it almost felt like a weird, a magical moment when that happened, which I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
And also the little beats of comedy with the fox being cute worked, I thought, before that. Him, popping out behind stuff or,
Yeah, it was adorable. Yeah.
Just being cute. It's like, yeah, foxes rule. This is cool.
It helped balance out the mood a bit, too. You know? The movie was definitely very sexy. It was a very sexy movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
Which we had seen sort of in the reviews beforehand, but, I was surprised. I did not... know that it would just have that vibe to it. I don't know. I wasn't against it. I was into it.
I loved the scene of him fucking with the belt on. It's really good. Big fan of that.
That was good. It's good. And Alicia Vikander had a much bigger part than I expected.
Oh yeah, totally.
She's great. I like her.
Oh yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah.
All the cast was really good. Dev Patel was good.
Yeah, Dev Patel was great.
Yeah.
Probably his best role, honestly.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, he was really good. And also, we haven't, I'm just looking at the page here, haven't talked about how cool the fucking Green Knight looked himself.
Oh,
looked really cool.
Oh, yeah. So that's a big one to talk about, is he looked awesome. And the sound design was fucking great for him.
Really good.
Like, all the creaks and just, like, cracks and, like, the sound design was... Actually, throughout the whole movie, the sound design was fantastic.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I felt like, yeah. What was I going to say? I don't know. I lost my train of thought. But, yeah, loved the Green Knight, loved the practical effects and stuff. I think maybe also that maybe that sequence got a little dull, because I feel like the score, I feel like it was pretty wall-to-wall score for a good portion.
It was.
Sorry, my cat's busting. But yeah, and it was always switching up and like doing something new or like having a weird transition where then the score transitioned as well. And at a certain point, it did kind of like lose that. So maybe that's what contributed to that sort of like,
yeah,
you know, pace slowing.
Overall, the cinematography I thought was really fantastic.
Oh yeah, I mean, it looked killer.
Yeah.
Lighting was amazing. Love the use of all the wide lenses. Lighting was incredible.
Lighting was incredible.
Cool lighting transitions too. Like when the Green Knight first comes in and he like the king looks at that one guy and he like thinks and the light goes red and then it fades away and he just like shakes his head no. I was like, ooh, that was cool.
Oh, I missed that. I gotta.
Oh, really?
All right. Yeah, it's just like
a weird little beat, like right when the Green Knight walks in where the king's like looks at this guy and the guy just like vibes it out and he's like, mm-mm. You know, I was like, oh, okay, that was a cool little like lighting change.
Cool.
Or like the when the queen reads the note, there's like a weird weird green lighting and like the ghost voice. Oh
yeah,
and stuff.
I kind of remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the movie started really strong.
I agree.
Was like, after that scene, I was like, this thing fucking rules.
This thing's fucking killer right now.
Yeah.
I like how they went right into it too. How
totally
that they were just like they went right into the quest. They set it up. He did the challenge. Year passes, and that whole transition. It was very quick, but it was like a cool transition of throughout the year, showing like the puppets and stuff was cool. And being like, you know, a year has passed, and now it's time. And then when he first sets off on the quest was cool.
Loved that, and like the chapters were like really short at that point, so it's like a chapter. It's like the journey out or whatever.
Yeah,
and then it's just like one long shot of him like riding a horse on like
really long one take, like this huge.
The
like,
kids are in the
valley.
Background, like chasing him.
Yeah,
and, like you can see this castle in the back, and it's just like, all right, I'm starting the journey,
cool.
But it's
so cool.
I'm kind of just like. There was a lot of like interesting sort of like mundane practicality in certain parts that I liked. And that was definitely a good moment where I was like, oh, okay, hell yeah. It's not like bum ba da bum ba da bum ba da bum, the journey begins. You know what I mean? It's just like
you know, he rides off, you know. No, like it was him setting off and the kids sort of follow him because he's a knight, you know, and so the you know, kids thought it was cool and he's going off on this quest, like it still had its own vibe of that by doing it very simple. Love seeing just sort of the castle in the background. It was awesome. It was the whole vibe, the vibe, the production value, just sort of, you felt like in a lived in world.
Yeah, totally. And it was pretty smart in the way that I think it used its resources too. Like, all the sets were like super cool. The round table, like night set.
So
killer.
Cool. Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
I mean, awesome.
I feel like I had a thought about I wanted to jump back just a little bit. I feel like my biggest specific nitpick is I don't know how I feel about the titles.
So I was curious about what you thought about that.
Like some of them, didn't really like some of them. I felt like I just always prefer just prefer consistency. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. It was, I'm not like totally against them. I feel like it was just a very interesting choice, you know?
Yeah.
There was some that I liked, and then sometimes I felt like it was too much, where I was like, maybe don't like need the... it there, or, but like, yeah, I get what you're saying.
The switching of like the, like Sir Gawain and, or is, or whatever, where it was like, and it switched between like five fonts.
Yeah, that was strange.
It kind of gave me the vibe that like they couldn't decide, where he's like, man, there are so many cool fonts that we could use.
Let's just use them all.
Like the designer. Yeah, the designer sent back the font treatment, and he was like, what if we just use all of them? Because I can't pick one. You know what I mean? Like, because I feel like it fit a little better for the chapter markers.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, like the font's changing depending on the chapter. Like, it's a different vibe because the vibe of this part is different. Okay. But yeah. Like the opening credits, there was like the cutting between the shed. And I was like, these are really weird titles and I'm kind of into it. And they're really tiny. And then it switched to a different title. And then it went back to that same like two fonts paired together.
Yep.
And then there was the thing that cut between five fonts and then the chapter titles. And it was like, oh, is there no like Green Knight title card drop or like, cause I thought it was like Sir Gawain and it's like leading up to it. And then it's like, and Christmas Day or whatever, which also Secret Christmas movie kind of canceled, you know?
Yeah.
It's a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie. What am I
doing watching in the summer?
Yeah, man. No, it was interesting. I agree. I don't think I was that would probably be my biggest nitpick. It was like sort of inconsistency of the titles. Cause I do like them to be consistent. And you don't necessarily need them. Like, maybe you just wanted to spice it up a bit, but it's like, I don't think you needed it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I don't think you did either. I think it would have been stronger if he had settled on one. I don't know. It felt like a thing that was like the titles felt very modern. And I feel like the movie already had that vibe, and like I didn't need that in it.
Yeah. It was like an extra layer of like style that was placed onto it, but
little
it's like
flashy.
It's a little flashy. A little flashy.
Yeah,
I agree.
But I mean, I do agree that they were all cool. Like they all looked good. I didn't like dislike the way they looked.
No, yeah.
It was more just like
it's a bold choice.
I need to see his name five times.
It's a bold choice.
What are we watching? A Gaspar Noé movie? Sort of the void. You know what I mean?
Seriously. Come on. What did you think of the whole, like the scene, like, we didn't talk about this at all, but the scene, like, where he's at the cabin by the lake and all that stuff.
Oh, loved that. Like, the ghost. With the ghost, big into the ghost part.
Getting into the head, like, getting the head from the lake or whatever. That was cool.
Okay, slight nitpick on this scene, though. Okay, there's the ghost, find my head. Ooh, that's spooky. Goes, he dives. Liked the red. It's like, okay, that's cool. Nice little stylistic thing.
Mm-hmm.
Finds the skull, puts the skull up, goes upstairs, puts the skull in the bed, right?
Yeah.
But when he puts the skull, when the shot of him, like, busting the skull out of the water and then, like, getting out of the lake or whatever, there's a jaw. There's the jawbone. And then he delivers the skull to the bed and there's no jawbone. It's like, dude, you forgot the jawbone?
You just drop off and you let it?
Yeah. Like,
continuity
like
error, dude.
It's clearly there and he just like doesn't bring it. And it's like, this fucking guy. He also doesn't bring his sword when he gets robbed. He like uses his sword to cut his bands, but he doesn't bring it with him.
Yeah.
It seems like a really weird choice. I was just like, what is it with this fucking guy and like not bringing things with? He didn't bring his sword. He didn't bring his fucking jawbone. Like,
seriously, come on, man.
Yeah, you're forgetful?
You're a knight here. Let's go.
Yeah. I liked how much of like a fright when he got robbed. How much of like he was like, I'm not like a knight. You know what I mean? He's just like, I'm kind of like a frightened boy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, because. Overall, I feel like I also I didn't realize how much, because I played the role-playing game. And you go through the major beats of the story. And so I didn't realize that I would like sort of get that half spoiled for me a bit.
Yeah.
Because you go scene by scene. So there is like the robbery, there is the scene with the ghost, scene with the fox, and like there are certain like points, and then you get to the Green Chapel or whatever. So no, it was interesting to be like, they sort of get to the scene, I'm like, oh, this must be the ghost part or whatever, you know.
Yeah, totally.
So I kind of had
expecting those beats.
Kind of had a slightly different perspective because I played that. But getting to the end, the Green Chapel, I thought it was awesome.
Oh yeah, so good. Loved the the weird yellow color timing for all that stuff.
Yeah.
Was great.
Yeah, that looked
super good. And like scene where the night where he's like waiting and it's just like cutting to like nighttime, back to daytime, he's just like waiting for the Green Knight to wake up.
Yeah.
And it's all the dissolving of like all the characters' faces and stuff was really cool. Yeah,
that was interesting.
Yeah.
It's just having like the Green Chapel be this like natural sort of structure, and he's just like this inanimate magical structure creature that just like awakens. That he's been sitting like
growing
there
in the vines.
Yeah, breaks free. There's like a little stream going down the steps.
Comes love down. The little stream.
Yeah, and I love the ending. I love seeing like him play through and seeing like what his life would be like.
Yeah,
how he. The whole idea is like honor, right? Like living without honor, living with honor, and him like choosing to live,
regretting that choice,
growing old and having a regretful life, then having him snap back and being like, I'm ready. Like he saw that perspective and I'm ready to die with honor.
Yeah.
To complete the game.
Do you think he actually is like dead? Like he gets decapitated and he's dead like right after the movie ends?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of do too.
Yeah. I feel like
I saw it with a buddy who was like, I'm not sure, but I feel like after thinking about it, at least, I feel like
I feel like he did, because he like thought about it and he chose, like in the end, he chose the honorable thing, even though it's a silly game.
Took the belt off too.
Yeah. And it's about honor, right? Being a knight. And in the end, he chose honor and honored the game, and he had his head cut off. So yeah,
one thing that I feel like I guess isn't a big deal, but I'm a little curious about or confused by, is the role of the mother. And maybe there's like more context or subtext on a rewatch, but I didn't really understand why the mother, like, I get fundamentally why she would summon this, because she like summoned him, right? Like, I feel like she did, the ritual with the letter. She, like, did a ritual with the letter and, like, burned it, and then he shows up, and it's, like, cross-cutting between that. Oh. So it's like, okay, did she summon the Green Knight to, like, for this test for her son to, like, be a worthy knight? But
to, like, show also he was honorable?
Just to, like, yeah, but, like, he's honorable and dead now. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't do anything with his life except for become honorable. So I guess I didn't really understand the motivation behind that, maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just, it was a test and he made the choice. Because I guess there's also, like, the concept of, like, he blew the blow to the head, so he made that choice himself. It could have gone various other different ways, but he's the one who, like, did that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. I'm a little hazy on that, to be honest with you. I don't remember that too much.
It's like right before the knight shows up.
I remember the letter burning to him. I remember the letter burning,
which is a really cool gag. She like sets it. She looks like she's handing it to someone, and she just lets go of it, and it just like hovers in the air and then like lights on fire.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
It's like a weird like ceremony thing, and I believe it's when the king is like giving the speech about how he's like sitting next to him, and there's like it's cross cutting between that, and then right after that, the Green Knight shows up. And like bangs open the door or whatever.
Yeah, it's an interesting. Yeah. It's like part of the legend, right? It's sort of just like an interesting tale about how there's like this one knight, and he doesn't have any real tales behind him. Like he doesn't have any like honorable or epic stories to talk about to that shows his honor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's sort of given like the ultimate test and the ultimate test of honor to live to live in, you know, forever in legend as mm-hmm. Sir Gawain, who lost, you know, he defeated the Green Knight and then lost, but he was like, so that's like his tale, I think, was maybe the idea, like he now has now he lives in legend, but he mm-hmm. might not have before. I don't know.
No, for sure.
It's up for interpretation, yeah. I think.
Yeah, I feel like maybe that's just something I would like keep an eye on when I watch it again. It wasn't necessarily like a big detractor where I was just like, why would the mom fucking do that? It's like, I get it. It's like this old like lyrical thing about honor, and like it's like the tales of old and stories of like legends and all that. But it did seem weird because they were trying, I felt like they were very much trying to like paint this relationship between them that I didn't like fully grasp. That I don't know like where that necessarily placed in the themes of like what it was trying to say with like the ending. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I did like the ending.
I really like the ending
of cutting back and then the snap to like the title card and, you know.
Yeah, I loved it.
Off with your head or whatever. It was great.
Yeah, loved the ending. It was, even though I'd kind of seen it coming a bit, maybe because mm-hmm. I played that game, definitely. And I think anyone kind of can, but when that moment happened and it comes back, it's still sort of like, oh, satisfying, you know? It's like, oh,
yeah, cool. Totally.
It was like, oh, cool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This might be a really dumb question, but I'm curious why like Dev Patel was cast. Is like, it's sort of, I don't know how to get into this without it being awkward, but like, because he's
I think he's
Indian, right?
Yeah,
so I was thinking it was just sort of like he was the best fit for the role, right? Like, I was, it's not trying to be historically accurate. I'm just curious about
him,
that
to cast him. Yeah, because I think it also, it's trying to set itself aside. I feel like it, yeah, like, who cares? If it's not trying to be historically accurate with,
like, what's it matter?
And its settings and stuff, then, yeah, like, what's it really matter? Like,
yeah,
this probably would be all white people, but, like, might as well not be. Like, Dev Patel's a great actor, you know what
I mean? Thought he did fantastic. I also didn't know if it, like, I didn't know if, like, maybe I was, like, maybe it wasn't white people. Like, I don't know. Like, I wasn't sure if maybe it was more accurate if they chose that, or...
I don't know definitively either. It just seems like based on the like region or whatever that
they did a lot of like not white casting too, it seems, which is interesting. But good. Like I don't know. Just something I feel like to mention.
Because
it's like not historically accurate, so it doesn't even matter really. I think they just sort of
because I feel like I a lot of the design and stuff felt reminiscent, but not like based in, and I could be totally wrong. Maybe there's a lot of really historically accurate things, but some of like,
sure, it's a mixture.
The castle, like especially the Joel Edgerton castle felt like a little more modern. And like, I also think some of the cuts of the costumes, especially Dev Patel's costume felt really modern. And I liked it. I liked his like yellow cape and stuff, but the way all of it was styled and like the crowns and everything didn't really feel like, it felt different and it felt like its own universe more than it was trying to like harken back to that like Knights of the Round Table vibe. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it, even like the costumes too, which were great, like they were based in sort of history, but they had like that Game of Thrones vibe a bit, to where it's like, this is a fantasy world. You know, like that stuff didn't exist in Game of Thrones. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like those costumes were like much more exquisite than they were, you know, that era of medieval times. Sort of the same thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I feel like the cuts were a little more modern in some of like the shirts and stuff that he had.
But
It definitely, I feel like aesthetically kind of went its own way a little bit, but not necessarily to a distracting point.
No, not distracting. Just an interesting, It's an interesting thing to point out.
It towed that line well because it never felt really out of place. And same thing with like kind of the with the design of the giants. Like not what you would expect. You'd expect some like old trolley looking like bumpy guy and be like rah, and have like big teeth or
you
something.
You always expect
but there are these like very sort of like elegant, like weird,
almost
like
alien,
sci-fi-esque,
alien-esque, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, which I thought was really cool, and they also didn't feel out of place. Like,
yeah,
I feel like it.
Yeah, I don't feel like any of it. I don't feel like any of it felt out of place. It really felt grounded in its own sort of reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. I thought everyone did a great job. The casting's amazing. Yeah. It's really, really good. I can't wait to see it again.
I am excited to see it again. I hope they put it out on 4K.
I'll definitely buy it if they do.
A24 needs to get on the 4K train because it's upsetting that they haven't yet. Even put more out of the really expensive Midsommar. Do them like that. I don't care.
Because they did do that. They did do the Midsommar one. Yeah, man. So what are you going to rate this thing?
I don't know.
It's been tough.
I feel like it's a tough one. I feel like hard four. Hard four.
Agree. Definitely hard four.
Light 4.5, maybe. Yeah. But like, if the rewatches of this thing go right, you know, we'll see. You know what I mean? Like, I do feel like I need to watch it again, but there's not... I mean, we just talked about everything. I guess I had some gripes, but it's all pretty minimal. Like, for the most part, it's just a fucking, like, really cool fantasy movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
Like, I really liked its vibe, and, I don't know. It was really good.
Yeah, I agree. Thought all the actors were fantastic. I thought the directing, the cinematography, the lighting, the music... It's all great, man. It's all great. And I am obviously a huge fan of fantasy. You are too. It hit all my tropes. I loved it. And it definitely felt very much a unique film and different to the point where it's like I kind of need to see it again to sort of just absorb it because there are aspects to it that felt just different enough and deep enough that I didn't quite grasp it on the first take.
Yeah.
I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think I'm setting out a hard 4, but I feel like I could easily get to 4.5 next watch.
Yeah, totally.
Once I get a better grasp on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not without its faults, but a lot of... like bold choices that I think for the most part panned out, you know what I mean?
Most of them did
in its favor.
I agree. And now I hope, unfortunately it's, there's a lot of mixed reviews. Seems like a lot of the critics love it. Yeah. And a lot of the general audiences are not digging it.
It's really weird. Like,
it's definitely weird. I mean, you know, general audiences might go into this being like, oh, hey, Arthur story, and like expect,
Yeah, there's like almost no action in the entire movie for like a night movie.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I don't think there's like one like sword fight or anything, really.
Yeah, not really. I mean, in the very beginning, that's like it.
Yeah, and that's not even like...
It's like not even a fight. Like, it's just like a...
Yeah, he just like cuts swipe. His head off. Yeah.
But other than that, like I mean, I want more sword and sorcery. I want more fantasy. I want, and this is definitely a very unique flavor of that. I've never seen anything else like it. In this vein of a fantasy adventure done in this style, never seen it. So, I think that. Alone is worth checking out because you'll never see anything like it.
I think it's very, very much worth. I would recommend it to people, like, I mean, the right people. Like, Once again, I don't think it's like something for everyone, but I do think it's well worth going to see if you're interested in seeing it. Like, absolutely.
Yep.
And really just fingers crossed on that 4K. Let's get that thing announced, you know?
Please. Because I will definitely buy that immediately. And I really do think it's I think it's going to be pretty rewatchable in general.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. Like, I feel like I'll watch it. I can't wait to watch it again, but even after that, I'll probably watch it, you know, every year or, you know, every once in a while. Like, yeah.
It's a good new movie
to put on the list.
Yeah, it's a slow burn that isn't boring, but makes the slowness, like, work to its advantage in a way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really small, and there's, like, no action, but it still feels really big. And mm-hmm. I do think there's, like, gets credit for kind of, like, I feel like it's just kind of in between a lot of things, and it toes the line well between all of them.
And, it's just really hard to do.
Yeah, totally. And, like, certain times maybe it pushes a little bit in a direction that isn't, that I didn't enjoy as much, but also it's, like, I don't know, I feel like it's a pretty, it's really hard to sort of, like, balance all that. And,
yeah.
I thought it did it really well.
I feel like in the end even though there's, like, barely any action, it still has a very feeling, like, this feeling of epicness. It still is, like...
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It's like an epic adventure, even though...
It really is, and it's all through the tone. And, like, I was like, man, this thing's cooking. Like, this thing's a banger, and it's fucking moving. But, like, it's moving, but also there was just, like, a three-minute shot of him just, like, riding a horse. You know what I mean? Slowly. Like, you know what I mean? But, like, the pace is up, and, like, there's, like, an energy to it.
Yeah, man.
I don't know how you balance that energy with it simultaneously just being, like, really slow and having lots of wide vistas of people walking. You know what I mean? But, like, totally. It did it.
Yeah, man. Awesome. Well, yeah, we both really enjoyed it. We can't wait to see it again. That's going to wrap it up for our review of The Green Knight. As always, you can find other episodes of this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, and YouTube.
Follow us on Instagram, and you can email us at listentousrantaboutmovies@gmail.com.
And that does bring us to some sad news. Our next episode will be our final of the show. We've been doing this for 6 years. It's been a really good run. We want to thank all of our listeners for sticking with us through the years, especially our Patreon supporters who provided
a
massive amount of support to the show. So thank you very much. We've got a ton planned for our final episode. We want to make it a celebration of what we've experienced here on the Listen to Us Rant About Movies podcast. So we hope you'll join us one last time. Again, thank you to all of our listeners and to everyone, especially if you made it to the end of this episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for listening and sticking with us through all this time. And be fun to have one last ride, but it's been a fun ride the whole time.
It's been a real good journey. And of course, we'll have all these episodes out there, so we can always revisit them, always have them. So 6 years is a long time.
Yep, it's a while. We had a good run.
It's been good. But all right, that's gonna end it for tonight. Good talk, Zach.
Good talking, Wes.
Till next time.
Thanks for listening to this Listen to Us Rant About Movies podcast episode. Goodbye, and I will see you again on the next show.